following program was specially transcribed earlier for your enjoyment at this time.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please.
This is the fourth of a series of unusual dramatic stories written and directed by Willis Cooper and featuring Ernest Chappell. Today's story is called The Ticket Taker.
I don't know where I am now. I've been wandering around for so long, I don't know where I am, all by myself. Nobody seems to know me at all. Only thing I know for sure is one of these days I'll run into him, and then it'll all be over. I keep listening for him. Every place I go, I keep listening for that jingling, the shuffling footsteps, and that whining voice. And I know I won't be ready for him when I do hear him. You know, you're never ready for the guy with the bad news. And he is bad news. I thought I heard something knocking at the door. Did you hear? Listen. Wait a minute, I have to be sure. Don't mind me, I'm always listening for him. You ever do that? Well, you know that. You get to hearing a lot of things. Mostly things you don't want to hear. Doc used to talk about hearing things at night. Doc was a Scotchman. He used to say, Scotchmen could hear things at night that other people couldn't. That guy could tell you stories that make your hair curl. I wish I hadn't listened to so many of them. There was a thing he used to say. I can't do that Scotch dialect. But it was about witches and warlocks and things that gangs bump in the nick. Things that gangs bump in the nick. I got my share of them, brother. I listened for him. Jock and Ruby and me. Sitting in that room in that house on Taylor Street in Chicago. Sitting there all day long with the window shades down and $22,418 there on the table. Sitting there all night long with one of us always awake with a rifle leaning against the windowsill. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Ruby will be counting the money again. And the little red glow that came in the window from the neon light in the saloon across the street. I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. There'll be Jock's footsteps across the floor. He's singing some old Scotch song.
Welcome to your
room. Shut up, will you?
Oh, did I wake you up, Ernest? I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking. Did you get me sleep then?
Just for a while.
No, I didn't. Oh.
See anybody?
Uh-huh. The lady stopped each side about 3 hours ago. But she was rooting for a woman. Now listen to him talking. The sun's up.
It's going to be another hot day. What time is it, Jock?
Bye.
Wake up, Ruby.
Hey, water, Ernest?
Yeah, we drop. I got thirsty in the next.
Yeah, don't drink at all. Friday. Friday. upstairs, Ruby, and see if the old lady's got the coffee ready.
Aye, and tell her to get the papers.
Yeah, have her get the papers, too.
Won't be out yet.
Tell her to get them. Oh, I want to get out of here.
Oh, get me off. Maybe this will be the thing.
I'll get carried away. When I leave, I want to leave for good. Go ahead, Ruby.
All right. How much longer do you think, Ernie?
Not much, I hope.
Well, they got booty in here.
You can't hold them. You know they haven't got anything on them.
If I was booty, I'd get to stay in here.
You too. Keep your eye out that window.
Nobody. I think we're getting away with it, Ernie.
You too.
Hot in more ways than one, laddie. Hot in more ways than one.
That's a bad joke. That's a strictly no good joke. But it's true, we are hot. Hotting that $2 pistol. Frank Gaffney died yesterday at Passport Hospital with a row of bullet holes across his belly he could see through. And if Frank's boys ever find out who did it, somebody's going to die the hard way. I was glad to come back to the yard to cut off his friend. But it's a laugh. Everybody knows D.D. Brandreth was Frank's worst enemy. D.D. shot off his mouth a lot of times about making Undertaker bait out of Frank. D.D. oughtn't to drink so much. So what happens? Frank gets a roll of 45 caliber kisses across his front porch, and boom, everybody's hollering for D.D. They see them, the cops go for it. And before you can say Yahtzee Marsh, Dee's in the can, Frankie's boys are loose and polishing cannons for Dee when he gets out. Oh, yes, he'll get out.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody can prove anything except he was Frank's worst enemy. And that's bad, especially when nobody saw Frank get embroidered. And all the time we're sitting in this room on Taylor Street with the shades down, and nobody knows we're in town. And we've got $22,418 on the table. All we gotta do is wait. Wait till the cops call Dee Dee out. Wait till the Lugans from back of the yard catch up with Dee Dee and give him that old Chicago farewell. We didn't even know Frank Gaffney. Old lady that sells flowers with the big fat finger on him for us. Funny how flowers and lot givings get mixed up together in Chicago, ain't it? Remember Dee Dee O'Banion? Had that flower shop across from Holy Lane? They moved him down among the two trees a long time ago. And here's Frank Gaffney got flowers from Dee Dee. Anyway, you see, it's a sweet deal if we can hold out till Dee Dee gets paid off for something he didn't do. The Lugans will be satisfied and they'll put the artillery away and figure it to be. And Ruby and Doc and me will take the very, very first powder for that $22,418. And everybody will be happy. The guys that paid us for the job, the cops, Frankie's mom, and us, we'll be happy. He could turn us into a banana. The door busted open.
Hey, I got this. You come off the first of getting that slug rack through your strapple. Tightening the door, you do.
Shut the door, you jerk.
Look at the circle.
Let's see. Yeah. Goodbye, Dee Dee.
Yes, let me see.
Knocked him off his hour after the cops came in. Women and children and avenue. It's a long way from home, Rudy. What can't you do?
There's Gaffney lads everywhere, Rudy.
They're all back here in the room, though.
What?
They're grabbed guns. They're finishing up a good next week.
What will we get out of here, Rudy? Really?
Any minute.
Today?
You wait another couple of days. Just to be on the safe side.
I have to get the 9 days on you, Ruby. One more day will help you.
That's right, Ruby. We don't want to take any chances we don't have to.
I want to get out of here.
Shut up and let us leave.
the window curtain at night, huh?
No.
You couldn't, Jack.
Well, the three men were well over here, Rudy. What happened to me, Jack?
Yes, we'll count the money again, Rudy. Count the money again. You'll be using that money pretty soon now. Pretty soon it won't be just pieces of colored paper. It'll be money again. Money to turn into drapes and good time. Count the money, Rudy. While we read how they found Dee Dee Brandis under a tree in front of the jeweler's house out on the north side, in Dee Dee's blood was what turned it into money again. Guns of the ghastly mob talk awful loud. And while the Rubens are still a bit of pain, now that Dee Dee's on his back in the cold room, we still have to remember the boys that got the money up. One crack in a Wabash Avenue tavern. It could be our turn, too. So, like Doc says, we're the thing of evil and the DPC. We got a blow, but we got to take it easy. And if I had to see Chicago, then I'd be. So we cut the cards to see who goes first.
Who would have cut?
Jack about it.
Goodness, please.
And Ruby. Ruby is going to go first. Jack and I look at each other, and Ruby doesn't see us. Ruby can go first. Ruby can be the eager beaver. Ruby can be the beast. Hmm? Well, I don't mind waiting another day or two.
Will he make the grade?
All right, if he doesn't. Oh, you see what I mean. He doesn't need her. So now it's night, and Ruby counted the money for the last time, and we split it three ways and matched with the extra $4 so it didn't come out even. Then Ruby won, and he felt fine. It was 9 o'clock before the doctor. And it was 10 o'clock and there were still people walking around the street. And it was 11. And midnight when the cop had walked past. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning when we opened the door and started downstairs.
It's still all crazy.
Wasn't very smart of us, I suppose, when we figured how we were out there in that old house so long just to be sure we'd get away alive. But talking makes people cocky sometimes. We figured we needed some air. It wouldn't be right to let a pal walk out alone. Besides, it was only over to the Garfield Park L station at Halstead Street for Jock and me. Ruby was going to take the L there and ride out to Cicero Avenue and then grab a streetcar south to the airport.
I'll get off a couple of blocks this time of the airport so I can kind of catch it in case if anybody in or not.
Oh, there won't be anybody, Ruby.
You're all set now, Ruby?
Sure, yes, sir. I'll be on old flight 24410. By the time you guys broke up, I'll be in New York.
And you'll meet us at Ted's place next Thursday afternoon.
Boy, New York. And see you don't go getting lost. I've never been in an airplane before. Put the beef like this.
Well, don't forget the name you're using either.
Mr. Masterson. Mr. Burke, the Masterson of Des Moines Diary. First, nobody asked me about this name. I've never been there.
You don't talk so much, Mr. Masterson.
I'm happy, Jack.
Tell us about that in New York, lad.
What's the name of
the go.
What's the name of
the police.
You cut. Shut up. Over here in the door.
The only factors are in the police doorway. The three of us huddled in that thick left office and sweat. Streetlight half a block away from the second of Dr. Lawrence. The only sound in the thick, sticky night was a lonesome whistle of a leg leg. Crying for Mr. Nevin, 3 miles away. And then we heard a sound.
There was something. Right out of the shadows it came. And now I can never forget the sound of his shuffling footsteps and the jingle of the stuff he carried. A harmless old man in a broken cap and a long overcoat that trailed the ground. Chicago weather in midsummer, and a heavy overcoat buttoned to his scrawny neck. Padding along in the heat and darkness. Three of us hiding from him in the doorway. felt like a fool. He waited for him to pass. He didn't pass us. Straight to the shadowy doorway the old man came. I was sure he couldn't see us in the dark. Those vacant eyes he turned toward us were sharper than I thought. I thought, too, that I felt a breath of cold air as he stopped, wagging his ancient head from side to side. I thought, too, that the warlocks and witches and the things that go bump in the night, as Doc was always talking about, that the old man whined at us.
One of you gentlemen going on the elevator.
How did he know that?
I know one of you gentlemen going on the elevator.
Who was he? How did he know? Was he?
What do you want, old man?
You're not the one going on the elevator, sir.
Here, old man, here's a quarter. Now, why can't you go to your bed?
I can't, sir. I've got work to do. This isn't the gentleman either.
He was looking at me, ignoring the two bits that Jock held out.
You're the gentleman.
Who?
I'll have your ticket, if you please, sir.
Ticket? What ticket?
Your ticket, please.
I haven't got any ticket, old man. You don't buy tickets in the elevator.
You've got a ticket, sir. You have to have a ticket.
Listen, old man, I tell you, I didn't get it, Ruby. Here comes a train. There won't be another for an hour.
Okay, so long, guy.
I'll have to have your ticket, sir.
You got a ticket, old man.
You haven't got a ticket. What are you, nuts?
You've got a ticket, sir. Look in your pockets. I have to have your ticket.
Get out of the right.
In the right-hand pocket, sir.
Can you?
That's it, sir. Thank you very much. Now I'll just punch it for you so it's all right. You can go now, sir.
Take a quick movie. We'll take care of the old fool. Good luck, sir.
Look, I don't know where that ticket came from.
Easy, you missed the train.
Not so long, the old fool. She's thirsty. Go on, Billy. Go on.
Well, he's gone.
No, old man.
Hey. Old man. Andy. Where'd he go?
There wasn't any old man. Jock and I stood there on the deserted street all by ourselves with the roar of the L train easing away westward in the early morning with Ruby on his way home. There wasn't anybody there but the two of us. There was a bakery wagon two blocks down the street. There was a girl coming down the steps of the elevated station. And the L train banging its way westward blocks away. That's all. I noticed the way Doc glanced at me when we passed under the streetlight on the way home. I was looking at him the same way. We didn't say a word to each other all the way back to Taylor Street. I guess there's a little thinking of things. Maybe Ruby was going to be the one. Maybe that old guy was one of the gaps and mobs. Maybe they hadn't been satisfied knocking off Dee Dee. How did that old guy know one of us was going someplace on the elevator? How did he know which was the right one? We stalled quite a while before we went up to the room. I'm not yellow. And Doc. But neither one of us wanted to be the first one to go in the room. We finally went in. We crawled down the hallway on our hands. I reached up in the dark and unlocked the door. Then we stayed down on the floor so as not to make a good target. We didn't need to go through all that routine. There wasn't anybody in the room. We didn't sleep. Doc stepped by the window with a sawed-off shotgun. After a while, he said,
if that was putting a finger on the ruby, it was awful well done, Ernie.
I didn't see anybody around.
Thank God he didn't see anybody, Ernie. And the old lady put the finger on him, but us.
We got the news from the paper. We heard the kids down the street holler an expert. Doc and I looked at each other without saying anything. You know what we thought. We thought the headlines would be something like Ghastly Mob Blast Gunman, with Ruby's picture on the front page. That wasn't the headline, though. The big story was about an airliner that crashed on the takeoff at Municipal Airport at 4:10. Everybody on board was killed. And the name at the head of the passenger list was J.P. Masterson of Des Moines, Iowa.
Did you hear somebody walking?
Listen a minute.
I've got the neighbors know I'm all alone after everything that's happened. I hear things all the time. Well, sure, I'm alone. No, Doc's there.
Didn't I tell you about Doc?
I was talking about Luby and the plane thing. Look, about Doc. Doc and I decided to take a case of Washington. It couldn't be. How could a crazy old man have anything to do with an airplane crash? It's impossible, isn't it? Well, who was he? Well, what does that ticket that Ruby had? I'd have sworn Ruby didn't have any ticket except a plane ticket. We each had plane tickets. That was part of the deal, you see. All we had to do was call up and make our reservation whenever we wanted to get out of town. That's all the tickets we had. Doc and I got to talking about that a couple of days later.
Well, I didn't tell who the old man was, nor what he had to do with it all. But that wasn't enough for me, Ernie.
What are you going to do?
Look, Larry, the plane ticket didn't cost me anything, you see. And regardless of whether the old ticket man had anything to do with it, I'm not going to ride on no airplane for nobody.
Yes, but what are you...
I'm going to take a bus to New York.
Bus?
Okay, if I... I'll pay myself $3. This was only a minute. Nobody ever heard of a bus cracking up in a fire. And when I get to New York, I'll catch in the airplane ticket, and I'll be a few more dollars, I think. You come and go with me.
No, I was going to take the train.
Listen, Ernie. I didn't tell whether Frank Gaston's lads are on to us or not. But when they are, they'd be more likely to hang about the railway stations than about the bus terminal. You see?
I think you got something there, Jock.
I have. And another thing, Ernie. There'll be no nonsense about tickets on our bus, too.
I wish I knew what that old guy...
Forget the old guy.
I wish I could forget him. I wish I could forget him right now. That's all I want of him. Who is he? What are those tickets? Let me tell you about Doc and me. We went down to the bus terminal. There was a bus for Newark at 8:30. I remember what I did. I gave Doc all of my share of the money, except a couple of $100. We were going to be together on the bus, and he had the money belt. I wish I had some of that dough right now. I could use it, I guess. Well, we're standing around the bus station down on Wabash Avenue waiting for the fellow to call ours. We were standing there just waiting and listening. And all of a sudden, it was one of those silences. And I heard something.
Goodbye, old man.
Listen, Doc, I'm going to find out about
that. Shut up, let him go.
But where'd he go?
Never mind where he went. Listen.
He crammed into the crowd.
Let him go. We're going to top the old boy this time.
Well, what are you going...
Listen, I think he knows what bus we're going on. I'm going to just switch our tickets real fast, and we'll take the next one, see?
Yes, but what...
Look out and buy some cigarettes or something, and I'll go get the tickets, see? While he's watching you. Go on, beat it. Meet you here in 5 minutes.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all, but Jock has got a good idea, so I'll try it. He goes to the ticket window. I ease my way through the door out into the street. And up in his car. Cross up his thing. Take a picture, won't he? And he arranged that airplane track. He won't give Jock a name. I come out. I don't see him anywhere. Doc, where'd you go?
Just silly to yell that way.
Where did you come from?
I was watching your friend.
Where is he?
He's gone.
What?
He's gone, friend.
Did he run out on me with all that money?
Oh, no.
Well, where is he?
You wouldn't want to see.
He had what?
He fell in front of the bus over there. I'm afraid he's dead.
What are you telling me?
Oh, it's quite all right, you know. I haven't kicked him.
Did you?
That man won't do you any good.
You killed him.
Oh, no.
You killed him, I tell you.
Put up your gun, friend.
I shot him right through the chest twice. I was 6 inches away from him, and I couldn't miss. I couldn't miss at that distance, could I? I figured if he was one of the ghastly mob, he'd get me anyway, so I was going to go out with a bang. Right through the chest, I shot him. And you know what? He wasn't there at all. There wasn't anybody there at all, except a copper from Harrison Street, staring at me as if he thought I was a nut.
What are you shooting at, Bud?
That old man, I got him.
Smart old man.
Now, take it, Taker. He killed my friend. He's one of the ghastly mob.
Oh, man, you're talking about.
Where is he?
He's crazy or something, Bud. Shooting holes in the brick wall.
He was right here.
There ain't nobody there. Give me that gun.
He's got away. Listen, cop.
I'll have the gun, Bud. All right, you people, move on. Come on, Bud. It's 30 days for shooting off guns in public places. Why, you might have hurt somebody.
And they laughed when they left me out.
Am I crazy?
I don't know. I keep hearing things. I know he was there when I shot, but is he crazy? Nutty, listen. Listen, it's him. It's him, you hear him? That's the ticket taker. He's not going to get me. You have to have a ticket to get knocked off. And I haven't got any ticket. You're not going to get me, old man. I haven't got any ticket. I'm not going to answer it. There isn't anybody there. You see? There wasn't anybody there. There isn't any ticket taker. I've been dreaming things. All the time I've been dreaming.
What's that under the door? What is this? What is this?
What is this?
Quiet, Please. This is written and directed by Willis Cooper. The man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell.
Ernest Lloyd Buckley was the ticket taker. The others were Lon Clark, who played Ruby, Apple Mallard, who was Doc, and the policeman, Rock Lawson. The music is composed and played by Gary Brown. The preceding program was especially transcribed earlier for your enjoyment at this time. Quiet, Please will no longer be heard at this time. In its place, Mutual will again bring you The Salt of Monte Cristo. Be sure and listen next week over most of these same Mutual stations when The Salt of Monte Cristo returns to the air. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.